is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Lifetime Christmas movies.
I'm Patrick Serrano, and I am a Lifetime movie expert.
I'm Dan. I despise Lifetime Christmas movies, and this is the Deck
the Lifetime Uncorked podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Deck the Lifetime Live Record. I said words. Trust me. It's Bran. Dan's here. Patrick is out there in Chicago. How's it going out there in the old Windy City? That's what I've heard it's called.
It is called the Windy City, and we do have a wind advisory today. So
there you go.
How many days a year?
If you needed your weather report.
How many days a year is there a wind advisory in Chicago, Patrick?
You know, when it gets really bad, it's like tie down your patio furniture, like, you know, hold on tightly to your children. We really have their sirens that go off on Tuesdays at 9:30. That's like the practice tornado. I mean, it's a windy city. It is.
It's a windy city. Unbelievable.
A wind advisory here, we'd be like, uh-oh.
Yeah,
Serious. But is it like worse in Chicago? Like, does it have to hit another level to finally like put out an advisor? Because here in Greenville, it gets like 20 miles per hour, and they're like, "Hey guys, hunker down."
We're just trying to gather, Patrick. If you guys hear wind advisory and you're just like, whatever, like, or do you take it seriously?
Anything weather, we're like, whatever. It's like, you know, wind advisory. Okay, that's fine. My car's gonna blow a little bit to the side on the highway. Snow, you don't get off work or school. You have to still go. No matter what, it could be like 12 feet of snow and you're just driving like fishtailing all over the place, but you got to go to work. They're not going to cancel work.
Really never cancel school for snow?
Very rarely. Yeah. Very rarely.
I lived in St. Louis 2 years. We got over a foot of snow several times and it never was canceled. Never.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those plows are out there.
That's
working.
Right.
We need a Christmas movie about the snowplow.
The
man
Christmas
or
plow
woman.
Well, what was the was it the Melissa Joan Hart movie last year with the tow truck driver? Kind of that. And just do that.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Christmas. Yeah.
Jason Priestley.
Yeah. That's yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oh boy. That was one.
Yeah, I was watching 8-Bit Christmas on the HBO Max, and I think it takes place in Chicago, one of those cities where it snows a lot, and there's a bit in there about this one school district never cancels school, no matter the snow, and it's the school district they live in. So they're listening to the weather report on the radio, and it's like, cancel for today. And this county, not cancel. And everybody freaks out. It's a great
That's bit. Fantastic.
There's always that
That's
one district. They play hard.
One
hard
district.
Ball.
That's right.
They play hard ball.
We were at a school with a head of school.
Private school,
That was real, like, wouldn't cancel.
Yeah, but then he got softer in his old age.
He did get softer in his old age. Yeah. That's accurate. Yeah.
Once he realized,
go ahead. Did you guys go to the same grade school?
No, we talked together, Patrick. No.
Oh, okay. I'm like,
Brandon
I'm picturing little, you know, Brandon Dan, like praying for a snow day.
Yeah.
How adorable would that be? Well,
Patrick, you and I are the same age. We found this out last week. Born in the same year, roughly 2 months apart. Brandon's like a decade younger than us. So we hate him.
I turned 30 in January.
Me too.
I'm considering my 30. People maybe can chime in on this. My 30th birthday, I'm considering doing a deep dye in my hair, like a blonde or something like that.
The first one you threw out was silver or gray.
Silver or gray, something like that.
And I was like, are you just going full Santa Claus?
I don't know. I'll tell you, I don't know. Sometimes I see it. I see some boys out there that have dyed their hair, and I'm like, I don't know. I kind of like it. I used to think it was dumb, but now maybe it's just my midlife crisis. I'm only living to 60.
Yeah, you're about to say you're living to 60. Okay.
You have to do it once in your life. Like if you haven't done it, you have to do it at least once.
Have you dyed your hair?
What was your best hair dye?
I did like a golden blonde, like a you know. Strawberry blonde. It was terrible.
Well, let me,
it was amazing.
Well, let me ask you this, because I'm a hairy boy. So is the best route here to let my hair grow out a little bit and then dye it so that it's not like, I don't want to get a haircut and dye just a little bit.
Let's worry about those roots coming in.
The roots.
Right. The roots will come in regardless.
Yeah, but some roots are fine if it's longer, right?
Like if it's longer, does it look better or shorter does it look better?
No, I think you should grow your hair out a little bit, dye it, have them cut it up so it looks nice for like a week or two, and then it will grow out to the longer, and then you'll have the hair for even longer.
What about my beard, though? What do you do about that? You just
No, just leave it or fade it into like a blonde.
Ooh, a fade it. A fade dye. Wow. Right.
We've taken too much time on this.
No way. There's no way that's possible. I want to see the strawberry blonde Patrick Serrano.
I do want to see those pictures. Those pictures would be.
Oh, I have pictures.
Everybody tweet at Patrick Miguel and ask for that picture.
You can dye it and you should dye it.
And you should.
We are talking, what is it? Maple Street. What is it?
Biscuit?
A Christmas Village Romance.
Christmas Village Romance, but also on, yes. You can watch it on Prime. It's a Maple Christmas.
Christmas at Maple Creek.
Sure. So either one will do you. And this is a movie that's been out for a year. Lifetime picked it up. I did a quick perusal.
This is the 1800s boy, right?
Yeah. Yes. I did a quick perusal while we were on our flight. And because I was interested in the ratings of the weekday movies.
How's it going?
Yeah. You know, I don't know.
So you did a perusal and came up with nothing?
It is not all that impressive, no. But
But then we have to look at day-to-day.
So they're I don't know how it compares to a regular weeknight on Lifetime.
Right.
But it's like all of them are getting like less than 500,000. So it's like 300,000-ish. And then the premieres on the weeknights or weekends are a little, you know, like double that basically. So I think, I feel like it's been a down year across the board Christmas wise for Lifetime in comparison to the last couple of years. But I could be wrong, Patrick. You could know things.
You know, I think this is the year they're doing so many that, you know, they've never really done this many. So, yeah, of course it's going to be down sometimes. And like, you definitely see it on Twitter. Like I was going to live tweet all of them. And then I'm like, no, it's like the same three guys. Like this is a little creepy. I don't want to be that guy. I have better things to do with my life than live tweet Lifetime movies. So yeah, especially when they're in acquisition, like this one, like, you know, it's been out there for a year. So the premiere is not going to be boosted. Right.
Yeah, right. Mm. Right. Yeah.
But that's why we're talking about it here.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Back to Lifetime Uncorked.
Yeah, because this is something that Hallmark would never do. So it's a tactic to consider like when you're making your holiday movie slate, if you're a TV network, which I'm sure everyone who's listening to this podcast right now is, because there's so many networks out there. but you know, acquisition over like in-house production, like is it worth it? I don't know.
The interesting, the big argument is what's worth it. Like what's worth the money, to make your own movies and take a role, on the ratings, or to try to get the rights to like National Lampoon or something like that, that consistently every time it's on the air just does great ratings. So it's, you know, who's coming out better there?
This has been a really good TV exec chat we had here.
And none of us are TV execs. So
no, I mean, it's just interesting to me. So
that's me too. I love the rating stuff. I love all of it.
Yeah, it's very interesting. There used to be a TV ratings like blog that would do ratings every night. They retired. They were like, we're done doing this. So that's sad.
Patrick, is it TVbythenumbers.com?
TV by the numbers, yes.
I used to read it. Every day. I know that makes me a TV ratings nerd, but
you guys can use showbuzzdaily.com. Showbuzzdaily.com. That's where I go for my ratings every single day.
Good. Okay.
There you go. Showbuzz.
Good.
So,
writing that down.
Showbuzz. What kind of buzz is it?
Showbuzz.
Showbuzz. Are we ready to dive into the movie?
Born ready.
Yes.
Patrick and I have seen it. Dan has not seen it. And by the end of it, Dan will basically have seen it, and we will all decide whether or not we will pour it up.
And to be fair, you're gonna have to really win me over here, because acquired period drama movie, it's a put a cork in it right now.
Okay, so.
Well, we're starting from a zero. We got this.
All right, Patrick, take it away, pal.
All right, so we have A Christmas Village Romance starring Jake Epstein, our boy from Degrassi, or as the Canadians say, Degrassi.
And as we say, Degrassi.
That's how we say it.
Oh, yes. Oh, so fancy.
Yes.
Yes, very, like Drake time Degrassi. Yeah. So, you know, he was in there in a good time, I think. Never seen it. Jenny Ross is our female protagonist in Oliver Renaud. He was in the bio. I don't know why he's there, whoever that is.
Okay. Oh, he's probably the other guy.
Oh, he's Greg, the hunk.
Yeah.
We'll get to it.
Okay, all right.
Right.
The movie starts in San Francisco, which is fun. We get like the shot of the bridge. Oh, what is that? The Golden Gate Bridge?
I was reminded that I left my heart there.
And it feels full on like a Full House opening. You know, yeah. I'm waiting for the shoo-be-dee-rap that out. Yes. It was like, you know, you get the row houses, like the Tanners are out having a picnic. Yeah, like, what is happening right now? They just like literally stole the intro from Full House and just plopped it at the beginning of this movie.
As they should.
We meet Diana. She is a young romance novelist who's never been in love.
Okay. Yeah.
So
never been sad. In love.
Yeah. And she's also never been in the period in which she's writing about. So strikeout two for two.
So this is modern day San Francisco.
Modern day. She's a romance novel that writes about the 1800s.
She's a romance novel.
Novelist.
Okay. Got it. All right, cool.
She's a historical romance novel. Book
with hands up.
I'm a novel.
And she, yeah, she's just like, that's great. She is like basing the novel like on her town. Like her town's like a historic town called Maple Creek, and it like still has like a blacksmith, and like it's very historical, whatever that means. It, as far as what we see like a barn and like maybe a cabin or something. Very historical. You know what I'm saying?
I am under the impression that this town is literally just the barn and the cabin. Because that is the only thing we see of this town.
Yeah, we don't see much. We don't see a horse. We don't see nothing to tell me 1800s. But we'll get there. So
barn.
Diana has a, what is it called? A publisher or whatever, like her book agent. Her name's Holland. And she's like, Diana, you need to date because you write love novels and I need a sequel and we need to get another book and you need to be in love. And her big plan is to hook Diana up with the Fabio model cover of the book. You know how they have those sexy men on the covers of romance novels?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have one named Greg in this movie.
Hunky Greg.
He is like a hunk. He's definitely a hunk. He has a shirt off like for like a lot of the movie, which we love. And yeah, Diana like tries to like gussy up and like ask him out. And he's like, oh, I have to go run a triathlon or something, you know?
Yeah. Like he's got to go do things like in the Caribbean, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, he's like running a triathlon in the Caribbean for Christmas.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be like classic. Something, it's like an Instagram thing. Like he's very Instagram famous because he's so hot.
Right.
It's how that goes. How
I mean, I struggle
with that all the time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Story of my life.
That's right.
I took my shirt off one time on this show.
I know. Now you're a sex symbol. Now I'm
I know.
That's right. Can't stay away from it.
I can't say that I was prepared for it, but I also can't say that I haven't been preparing my whole life for this.
That's right.
So somewhere
well,
in the middle.
Now you know what it's like to be a woman because they're objectified all the time. Okay.
Okay.
There you go. So Greg is like, okay, I can't go, but I'll give you a ride home to Maple Creek because I want to see the town where the books are based because that sounds cool. So she's like, okay. And they drive and, you know, they have like awkward chit chat and she's like trying to like compliment him and she like talks about his biceps, you know, typical car ride talk.
Right.
classic road trip material there.
This is why we don't road trip anymore. Is it? I just
kept talking about your biceps.
I
got
know.
Uncomfortable.
I yeah. know.
Yeah. So, Diana is like, oh, there's this blacksmith in town, Timothy. He's like Uncle Timothy, but he's not my uncle. Don't think too hard about it, Greg. You're so pretty. And she gets there and she's like, oh my God, Uncle Timothy, I'm so in love with Greg, blah, blah, blah. And Uncle Timothy is like under the car, like working on, or not a car, it's like a sleigh or something because it's the 1800s.
A wagon.
Wagon. He comes out and it's not Uncle Timothy. It's Uncle Timothy's nephew.
Similar leg structure, I guess.
But Jake Epstein.
Yes. Jake Epstein.
Yes.
Jake Epstein is out here full on goofball mode, like, oh, I'm a blacksmith. Here's my hammer. You know, I will say this guy,
to be clear,
like,
he never does say, here's my hammer.
That sounds like a tagline in like a bad sitcom.
Yeah, for everyone that's concerned,
here's my hammer.
Here's my hammer.
And also, while we're like breaking down people's like vibes, Diana, whoever the actress is, I forgot her name. She is giving me Alicia Witt without the manic force, like manic energy, and Botox.
But what's left of Alicia Witt if we take out the forced manic?
A good actor. What?
Brand calling shots today.
She was good on Orange is the New Black. I'll give her that.
There you have it. Yeah, no, I forgot she was in that. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and she was good on Friday Night Lights.
Mm, well, yeah.
Where she, I don't know. She was the worst part of that.
She was in Friday Night Lights. That is true.
She was in it.
She was there.
Full hearts.
Okay. You can't lose. So tourism in the town is lagging. And Diana's sister Kayla, like, is in charge of the tourism. I guess they have an inn or something. Who knows? No
we
one's
don't.
In the town.
We don't know.
No one is in the town.
No, it's like empty cabins and like it's like big tourism time, but they don't have anybody coming and they're going to have to close down the resort.
They're going to the town's going to just shut down somehow. I don't know how this town works, but it's in danger, Dan, of collapsing.
The whole town.
Yeah.
But just the barn.
Really the barn
and
the cabin.
The barn and the cabin.
That's
are
what
really,
we're really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a nice barn.
Got it.
It's a great
so,
barn.
They go to the cabin and like Diana moves into one and there's Carter with his hammer. He's like ready to hammer something. And she's like,
got my hammer.
They're like talking. Yes. Yes. And he's like, he tells her about the history of like the town. And she's like, oh yeah, that's funny. I love history too. I write romance novels. And he's like, actually you're what's wrong with history. You bastardize history. You don't take actual historical events and you make people think that the 1800s were romantic and all this stuff, but actually they were hard. It was hard work and people had to work really hard and like get in mud and stuff.
He's a history teacher, so he really is not fond of the history novels.
All right, so she's in modern day writing this.
Yes.
But then Jake Epstein is in the novel.
No.
Because he comes out from under a wagon because it's the
1800s.
No. Okay.
Stop.
What is happening?
So she goes back to this town the books are based off.
Okay, there it is. That's
and
all
Jake
I needed.
Epstein.
Okay.
Now, Jake Epstein does seem like he could be from the 1800s, but he's not. Yeah. He's a modern day teacher who takes the 1800s very seriously.
Well, that's why he works on wagons.
He's also a blacksmith.
Yes.
By trade.
His uncle taught him.
But it's in 2020.
It's in 2020.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
All right.
And he's wearing like a one of those peasant shirts too. It's so strange.
It is.
What?
He's not.
I really wish he was. Got my hammer.
I love messing with Dan. It's like my favorite thing.
I appreciate it so much. I do.
What? You know, if I created the movie, Dan would just be saying, what? 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 All the time.
What? What?
I love it. Yeah, I need that as like my ringtone. I'm just going to like clip that out.
Every time you get
a
text, what?
I don't hate it.
Perfect. Perfect. So Diana, she decides she has like a brilliant idea. She's like, why don't we pimp me out as an author?
Of course.
And like make this like a themed thing, like for a Pioneer Christmas, that's her book title, and like make a Pioneer Christmas event where it's interactive and like kind of like Harry Potter world, but way less of a budget.
Yeah. It's like Pioneer Christmas Con, where people from around the world will come because they love Pioneer Christmas. And this is a big deal because her book is a big deal, but she's never done a public event before.
Wow.
So this will, like, she's always wanted to kind of keep the mystery, but for the good of the town, Pioneer Christmas Con is a go.
For the good of the cabin and the barn.
That's exactly right. It's a go. She says, I will be there to take pictures in full Pioneer garb.
Wow. Okay.
Yep. So with everyone on board, including Carter, because he's like, it must be historically accurate, though. he's going to help do the whole thing. So Diana and Carter play dress up. They put on like 1800s outfits to like publicize the event and they take cute pictures. It's a little montage. I wrote down the song thinking I'd remember it to sing it, but I don't. It's called I Think I'm Falling in Love.
Yeah. So here's the thing about that song is... I found that song choice to be so interesting at this point in the movie because up until this point, they don't really like each other.
Not at all.
This is the first thing that they're doing together where they're not like fighting the whole time. I really found it to be a very bold choice to go with I Think I'm Falling in Love with You because we're taking a photo shoot together.
And these books all have something to do with Christmas, or is it just Christmas time or what?
Books are not Christmas themed. No. It's just Christmas time in the movie.
Okay, got it.
But there is one book. I think she's writing a book that's Christmas themed, or one of the books was Christmas themed.
She's writing the last one. I'm also getting this confused with that Brooke Shields one because I watched that this weekend too. So I'm like, hold on, wait. Okay, got it.
No, either the one she's writing or the biggest one did take place at Christmas.
Right.
And it's like big for her to like get the Christmas like candles and the vibes going while she's writing. So okay. I don't know.
Oh, It's a whole thing. So they sell out every cabin. It's a huge success, like just from being announced. But it might not be enough to save the barn and the cabin. Might not be enough.
Now, you might be asking this question, Dan. Where'd Greg go?
Where is Greg?
Shirtless guy? Where'd Greg? Well, Greg's in the Caribbean. But she does talk to him and she like pitches the idea of him to come because he's the cover boy.
And those covers typically have to be shot on location, of course.
Well, they just want him to be at Pioneer Fest for photo opportunities for the people.
Even though he's not been on any cover yet.
You know, he's on the cover.
He is a cover.
Yes, he's the cover boy for all these movies.
All of them.
He's the guy.
Same when you're cover reading, boy for all the movies.
Well, they're all about the same characters.
Okay.
So when you think about the guy that's in Pioneer Town for the big
So that's
boys,
why you want him to be there.
That's why you want him to be there. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll like have his own booth, you know, and hopefully he'll be more popular than Melissa Joan Hart. So we'll see.
But he's like reluctant about it because he's got triathlons to run.
Yeah.
But then she keeps mentioning what's his name. And so he's like, who's that type of thing? You know, Jake Epstein.
He keeps
mentioning Carter, like, oh, Carter's funny boy type of thing. And he's like, oh.
Yes. The thing that you're leaving out, Bran,
yes,
that of course you would, you're a straight man, you're not a lady or a gay man, but he's shirtless the whole phone conversation, gratuitously for no reason.
Yeah.
Bran wouldn't leave that out typically.
I would typically mention it. I will say this, and as somebody who has been shirtless on screen before, I know it's tough, but I was underwhelmed.
Wow.
I said what I said.
Really?
Yeah.
Said what I said.
You should go back and listen to the rant that Bran gives on why we can't get a Christopher Russell shirtless scene in a movie. What movie is that? Is it a waterfall movie?
I'm sure it is.
He's very upset about this. Like, you would think that the guy who knows waterfalls or something would be sure. I don't remember the whole thing, but Bran is very, very much.
I'm pro shirtless. It's the least we can do.
That's
right. So
It is. And like, Hallmark versus Lifetime. Lifetime will give you the shirtless 9 times out of 10. Hallmark's a little bit like, maybe someone's putting on their shirt.
Yeah, well, they've been getting a little shirtless recently. Not in the Christmas ones, obviously.
No, gosh.
We've had a few this year.
Guys shirtless, come on, just give us that at
right.
least.
Right, all I'm saying is, like, just know your demo, Hallmark.
No. And also, these actors all work out to like be on Instagram anyways, so they want to show off their bodies too. They look great.
There you go.
Well, aside from Greg, underwhelmed Greg.
Wow. All right.
Poor Greg. I have no comment on Greg, but he clearly waxes his chest. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I clearly do not.
I love that Patrick said, I have no comment on Greg. But here's a comment on Greg.
Hey, you know, this is how I do it. You know, if I say no comment before the comment, it negates the comment.
It doesn't count.
Were you underwhelmed as well? Or that's the thing you're not commenting on?
I mean, I wouldn't say no.
With okay. his hand raised.
Yeah, that's right. So a storm rolls in, okay? And again, not Storm Megan, not Winter Storm Megan. It is just a storm to bring Carter and Diana together in a candlelit, rainy, stormy night where the ceiling's leaking and they kind of have like a romance vibe going until she sprays perfume and sprays him in the face. And then he's like, "You maced me." And he's like, "Oh, my eyes." And like, this is very strange.
Yep.
It was very strange.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And didn't matter at all, but we did it anyway.
It wasn't romantic at all, but it was a very weird choice by Jake Epstein to be like, "You maced me." That was like
super romantic whenever you say that.
That was an improv, you know? He was improvising for that. That couldn't have been in the script.
Classic Epstein.
Classic
Epstein improv. So I'm live.
Love it. Love it. They really give him free reign, I think, in these TV movies.
Yeah. Lots of takes, too. They probably did a dozen takes of that.
Right? Like, that was hilarious. Do more.
But that's, is that the reason why he runs out of while it's raining and then comes back? Is that this scene?
Probably. I didn't write it down, but tell me more.
So it's raining, right? And they're in the cabin?
Yeah. And they're like eating hash pie. Yeah.
So big storm happens and he ends up running away, but then the storm's too bad and so he comes back. So then they have a sweet time, sexy night.
Like, so he tries to run away.
Run out, but then it's too bad of a storm. So he
runs
back
in.
He runs back
in. And they have a sexy night.
A sexy night eating the pilgrim food.
Mm. Yep. Eating the 1800s food. And he tells her like he read her book and she's like very touched by that. She's like, "Oh my God."
Of course.
And then she's like, "You know what? I'm writing the ending to my last novel. And I think I'm going to I don't know. I might have to not end the book." She's like starting to have doubts about it because she doesn't like that stories have like a happy ever after or whatever. She like wonders what's going to happen after that, right?
And I mean, now that she knows that Jake Epstein reads her book, like that's reason enough to keep going, you know?
So she doesn't, her plan is to never end the book?
Never.
Yeah.
There's never a happy or sad ending.
It just keeps going?
Keeps going.
She never just publishes it?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll see. So
let's take a quick break, Patrick, and we'll come back and we'll finish breaking down this movie here on Dr. Light Tone Record. Are you ready to look good, feel good, and do good in the process? That's what Rothy's is all about, with unbeatable comfort for you. You can wash them. You can make those shoes look good every single time, and they're good for the planet. They are repurposed millions of water bottles into their signature threads so that they go, you're doing good in the process. I love my Rothy's, and I wear them all the time. I got some nice, like, a lot of people think Rothy's just for the gals. No. They got the guy shoes out there as well, and they are fantastic. They have lasted me a while. I can wash them whenever I want to, and they're comfortable. Wore them all around New York City, no problem. And this holiday season, you don't have to guess what you should get someone for Christmas. Just get them some Rothy's. And even better, you can get $20 off your purchase by going to rothys.com/deck. With extended returns and exchanges through the entire holiday season. That is rothys.com/deck to get $20 off your purchase of Rothy's. We're also brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, my favorite go-to beverage during the holiday season to add to anything. I can add it to my afternoon coffee, give me a little holiday kick. I can drink a little something in the evening to add a little flair to the festive season. Wherever you get your drinks, make sure you look for Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey this holiday season. And always remember to drink responsibly.
Jake Epstein does some blacksmithing, not shirtless or in a tank top, which is really disappointing to me. I'm like, come on, Jake. He's probably an actor who's like, I don't want to be shirtless in these movies, because he never is. So it must be in his contract. because he has that like weird teen following, like, you know, all the teen, he was like a teen heartthrob. So he's probably all over that.
Yeah.
He's
but also he's like a plucky comedic lead too. He's not the
right.
typical shirtless lead. Right.
I think in his Canadian TV times, he was like a brooding teen character.
Oh, wow.
I think he was like very sexy teen, brooding teen, bad boy.
I'm Googling Jake Epstein shirtless to see.
Why are you doing that?
Well, now I'm interested in if it ever happens. So he doesn't wax his chest.
Well, I wouldn't think he would.
But you have no comment other than that.
No comment other than that. Yeah, that's exactly right. I have no comment, but he does not wax his chest.
I got it. Good to know.
So, of course, just as Diana and Carter are connecting and like having the romance, Greg shows up. Of course. Yeah.
He's here to save the day.
He's here to do his little booth, and he's immediately jealous of Carter. And like, this guy, this awkward like goober is making me nervous.
Yeah,
he's all like, I have is my hot bod.
Yeah, he's like, he probably doesn't even wax his chest.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So he's feeling insecure, you know, and he like they're like talking shadily about each other. Carter overhears the conversation about like Greg, and he's like trying to downplay his feelings. So he's like, okay, well, if you can't, I'm really lost in my synopsis. If you can't be yourself around me, like, or be yourself around Greg, then you shouldn't date either of us, really, you know?
Yeah, he gets like he gets very intense about this very quickly.
Yeah.
Like they haven't known each other that long, but it doesn't stop him from giving life advice. And I appreciate that.
Full life advice.
Full life advice.
It's important.
That's right. And in his defense, she doesn't know anything about love. She's just a romance novelist.
Just a romance novel.
She's never been in love. So
yeah. She's never been in love. She needs her space. So she's like, all right, no men right now. I'm going to just focus on me and my book. And so like then it's like the night of the signing. She's like signing books and Greg's like over here taking pictures and he's all hunky. And Carter doesn't show up for the thing at all. He's like totally MIA.
Greg also finds out that he has like a TV show offer to just be hot or something like that. He's got, you know, this book cover has changed his life forever, basically.
He really is a Fabio. I mean, Fabio was like, can't believe it's not butter. Like, you know, he got that solely from book covers.
It's impressive.
That is impressive.
Yeah. Maybe he'll be the new butter boy.
The new butter boy.
Yeah.
There you go. So Greg and Diana are slow dancing after they do their like appearances and they're talking and they're like, you know what? Like, we're more of a friend vibe. Like, we're not really together.
He's like listen, not. I could be the next big butter boy. So yeah, I don't want to commit to you. And then big butter boy becomes a possibility.
Between that and his triathlons, you just don't have
time. There's not enough time. There's not enough time in the day to be butter boy and love.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Right. So she's like, okay, well, that's funny. And then they start laughing. They're like, haha, we both like thought we were dating and we're not.
we're so crazy.
We both thought we liked each other, but we actually hate each other.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, we're not compatible at all. That's hilarious. So Carter shows up right at that moment, sees them together, runs off. He's like, oh my God, she's in love with him. He's heartbroken. He's in the barn, like, crying or something. Who knows?
He's thinking about waxing his chest. Like,
yeah,
as a
it's a whole
like,
thing.
Yes.
Like, maybe I should do this type of thing.
And Diana runs after him. She's like in her like 1800s gown. This is why we thought that this was moved and set in that time, because this was the production shot day where we got all these outfits. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I sold some land and I'm going to turn the barn into like a cattle ranch or something. Like, I'm not sure.
What?
I'm not sure.
He
basically had a dream to like start a ranch.
What does it have to do with selling land?
He's going to say
you need land for a ranch.
No, he's helping save the town, I think is what we're getting at here.
He's helping save the town?
I guess he like had he inherited some land in Montana that he forgot about and he was going to start a ranch and there. And now he's like, you know what? I'm going to start it here in Maple Creek.
So
he save the town.
He sells the land in Montana to start a ranch in Maple Creek.
That's right.
Okay, now I'm tracking.
And Diana is so inspired by this. She's like, ah, and they kiss, and she's like, that is so romantic. I love ranch dressing. And
she doesn't.
They kiss.
She doesn't.
She loves it. She loves ranch dressing. And then she makes an announcement at the gala. She's like, okay, happy endings always happen in movies, but I want to see what happens after the happily ever after. And I'm going to continue writing my books.
Yeah.
I'm write all the books about the couple on the ranch. And the couple is her and Carter.
Man.
Is yeah.
That the end of the movie?
I'm just reading the last paragraph. I think they like kiss and then he dips her. Oh, and I wrote that down because I've been dipped in a show like that. And it's really dangerous and scary. So if you think it's romantic, it's not. It's terrifying to be the dipped person and you have to have a lot of trust in that person. So, you know, make sure that you're really in love. If you let someone dip you.
That dip okay? seemed also improv'd. It seemed like a very spontaneous
improv dip.
It's an improv dip. Saw them live. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I said it looked scary.
Looks scary. Me. Scary dip.
Scary dip.
Wow. Music plays, snow falls, the end.
The end.
1800s, yeah. Not period piece.
Nope.
Jake Epstein. We just reviewed a Jake Epstein movie here
it gets
on
Hanukkah.
Monday.
That's right.
And we loved that.
Yes.
So let's see what we
the
think
Hanukkah
about.
The Hanukkah one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was cute.
So cute. So let's pour it up, put a cork in it.
Yes. Pour it up, put a cork in it. We'll start with, who do I start with? I always forget.
You start with
Dan.
Me. Yeah.
Dan hasn't Dan, seen it. Cause you didn't see the movie.
Yes. You know, I started by saying this is an uphill battle because, you know, put a cork in it because it sounds awful, but I gotta say after listening to you two, it's definitely put a cork in it. because if there was a way for you to make the movie sound worse, you did it. This sounds awful. Just exceedingly awful. I'm so happy that I didn't sit through whatever this was because I just can't imagine. I can't imagine a world where they decided, let's air this on television. I know. Hard no for me. And I love Jake Epstein. I think he's great. Put a cork in that bad boy and then break the glass and do whatever else you need. Reuse the glass for other things. Recycle it.
Yes.
Just get rid of that, any essence of that wine bottle altogether. That's where I am with it.
Okay. Bran, what are you thinking?
Just really quickly, I think you went somewhere, you didn't know where you're going with it, and let's try it again next time. Let's reuse it, recycle it, but then get rid of any wine?
Break the glass.
Break the wine glass.
So the wine all disappears. The glass is all around, shards everywhere. Sweep up those shards.
Okay.
Take it to your local glass recycling place.
Sure.
To let them recycle it.
So we don't have to do anything.
No, we don't have to do anything.
Someone else can do
But when people see that glass, they don't see the wine bottle that was this Maple Creek movie. They see something else entirely.
Got it.
Do you understand?
I got it now.
Thank you.
I thought you wanted to put new glass, new something new no. into the wine bottle.
Old new wine and old wine skins. Forget it. What would you do that for?
I wouldn't. This is tough.
We went full Bible there, guys. You're welcome.
So this Thank is tough. You. This is tough for me because I actually do quite like the leads in this movie, and I do find them to be quite compelling. There was just a lot. This movie left me wanting in a lot of areas as well, because it just didn't like put these two in another movie, and I think it's a big hit. But like this weird like barn that's you know that's the only thing of the town we see in the 1800s, and that stuff didn't quite work for me. So I am reluctantly putting a cork in it. But I'm not sealing it all the way.
Like well, really?
Yeah.
A little air getting in there.
I'll put a cork on it and I'll leave it on like the shelf and maybe in a couple weeks I'll revisit it and see if I want to take another swig.
Swig.
another swig. But yes, it's a cork for me.
Okay. Wonderful. So I think I'm going to pour it up. Here's
wow.
why. Did the movie make sense?
No.
Did not. Were the leads good? Yeah, yes. They were good. Was there a shirtless hunk? Yeah, there was. So that's two thumbs up versus one thumbs down.
Yeah.
So I have to pour it up for that, I think. And, you know, like this harkens back to like Lifetime old school where the plot didn't really matter like at all. Ways it could have been better. Yes. Christmas magic to take them back into the 1800s. Actually, yes. That would have been cool.
For her.
Anything like that would have been amazing. But, you know, this acquisition didn't have that budget. This is like a third tier, fourth tier production company, you know?
Who this knows is a lower budget than most Lifetime movies.
There's
right. It was
one building in the whole movie.
Yeah. Nashima Entertainment is the production company. Never heard of them. So that says all you need to know.
Patrick, yeah. Can you think of any movie that you've watched in your history of TV movie watching where it had two good leads and a shirtless hunk and you would put a cork in it, thumbs down it?
Probably not. Because wow.
That's it.
I'm not going on content. I'm going on leads, hunks.
Yeah. Leads good, shirtless hunk, done and done.
The leads were really good in this movie, and that's why I'm keeping the bottle close by, you know? Yeah. I can see myself turning around. Yes, the budget, I think, really harmed this one because this is, I think, like the least amount of locations I've ever seen in one of these movies. There is
and it must have been like a COVID times too. Like
yeah.
they only had a certain amount of protocols on set. Man. Like, cause now I'm looking at the other movies. This production company did the Christmas setup last year, the gay Christmas movie,
which was really good.
It was good. They did Christmas Ever After with the actress who Ali Stroker, who's a wheelchair user.
Oh, yeah.
So they're good about inclusion and they did Mistletoes and Menorah with Epstein.
We've seen that one too. Yep.
Yeah, so they have some good stuff. I think it was just an off year for them. That's okay.
This movie, like, I'm glad that you guys got to see those performances. This movie sounds like it is just atrocious. I mean, just real bad. Yeah, so,
right.
You know.
Yeah, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we did it, everybody. We did it. We're back next week, and we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. I think we only have
two more.
Two more.
Man.
So next week is the Santa Fe, I believe. Santa Fe Christmas with the Mario Lopez.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we got the Mistletoe in Montana after that with Melissa Joan Hart. So the two big guns, saving them for last.
Two big guns coming up.
Biggest.
The biggest stars. The biggest of the guns is right. What we have going on here. Can't wait for that. Patrick, enjoy your week. Can't wait to see you next week. Dan, I'll see you soon. See you.
Yeah.
And until then, we'll be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast recorded live in, that Greenville, South Carolina. It's produced by Brandon Gray. Set decor by Plum Haywood Mall. For more information on all Bramble Jam podcasts, you can go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. For more information on how to listen to Deck the Hallmark ad-free, you can go to BrambleJamPlus.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off, whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.